So last week we talked about this idea of church and if church still matters. So we asked that question, does church still matter? I know it was Labor Day weekend, so a lot of people weren't here. So I'm just going to sum up a little bit about what we talked last week. The conversation was primarily this. In this world filled with options, why do we still need to go to church? If we can worship God anywhere, then why church? That was the gist of our conversation. We asked the next logical question, that if church matters, then why? Why do we meet together? Is it because we have nothing else better to do? Remember last week I told a story, there was a man who said, I look at church like an insurance policy. I give and I participate and I'm involved, and whenever something bad happens to me, then they got my back. And is that how we see church? Kind of a big insurance policy? We go to church, we do our time, and at the end of all things, we're going to be good? Why do we come to church? Why do we gather together? Remember we talked about Hebrews 10:25. It says this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you remember, this is this church. Go ahead and show that scripture, please, Brian. It says, this is not the church, that verse that is trying to guilt us into going to church. This is the verse that's letting us know that we need encouragement. He says, it is good. He says, don't give up meeting together. It's not saying, hey, you need to get in church every Sunday. What they're saying is, you need each other. We need each other. And if you remember, that passage is about enduring. What these people were going through, they needed each other. They needed to be encouraged there. So we looked at the early church also and how this way of life was transformative. We looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. We'll read this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These people were living a different life, a unique life. And they weren't just a family. They were a community of people who chose to be together. They chose to love each other. And their way wasn't short-lived either. A few chapters later in chapter 4, we see that the community was growing. It was continuing. Do we have that scripture back there? Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 35. You may want to go ahead and turn there. Acts 4, 32 and 35, it says this, all the believers were one in heart and in mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I love this picture because you see it at the beginning in chapter 2, and then you see it again in chapter 4. A lot has happened between chapter 2 and chapter 4. Persecution had started, and people were finding that they really did need each other. They found that their communities that they grew up with were not sufficient for their new faith. And what they discovered is that when they got believers together who were one in heart and mind and purpose, who loved God, who wanted to help each other, who wanted to help the poor, who wanted to change the world, they realized that their community mattered. They weren't just connected, they were together. This word is our theme, together. What does it mean to be together? So today we talk about why it's important to be together. So to this first church, meeting together was crucial. They were busy with their lives, but they were also spreading the gospel. They were preaching. The apostles were healing. They were finding people who had great need and they were meeting them there. Times were hard, but they were building Christ's church. They were focused because what they were doing was important. They were a team. Now, being in Grapevine, South Lake, Dallas, Fort Worth, we know what it means to be part of a team. Okay, if I asked for a raise of hands on, if I listed out certain college football teams or professional teams, we have people who are diehard fans here. When your team's doing well, you are all in, aren't you? Even if it is the Sooners. Is that bad? You like that, Marcus? I did that for my friend, Marcus. If your team's doing poorly, well, you're probably still in, but probably not as much. But the thing is that you're part of that team. You feel connected to them. I mean, to me, church is very similar to that. This community is, it's kind of like our team. We root for each other. We cheer for each other. We make time for each other. That's what the people in Acts did. They spent community together. They made an impact. And the word of God through Jesus Christ spread like wildfire. So it was a community. These are people, just like you and me. If we were born back then, they would be very similar to us. Same desires, wants, needs. But they found each other and they were together. And I wonder, how did they communicate back then? How did these people really communicate whenever things needed to happen? Whenever they were doing a potluck. Did they call them potlucks back then? I wonder, was every meal a potluck back then? How do they tell each other, hey, we're going to be going to the temple courts today. We're not going to be in so-and-so's house. How do they do that? They didn't have social media. And I wonder if this first church communicated well. Today we have the same questions. We really try to communicate well. We have lots of things to do. We have lots of activities. We have people we need to help. And the questions I always ask myself, how can we communicate better? So really quickly, I thought it would be good right now as we talk about what it means to be a church family. What does it mean to communicate with each other? I thought maybe I'd ask Christian to come up for a second. We've been talking together about this idea of communication, how we can get each other really more together in the things that we do here. And there are a couple of ideas that Christian has that I wanted him to talk about just for a minute, and then we're going to get more into this idea of the first church. Come on, Christian. Drive it home, buddy. Okay.
I apologize if you give me more than once on a Sunday, so we'll see what we can do here. I appreciate you, Scott. Thank you. As we talk about community a little bit, we all know that communication is important in our own families, in our workplace relationships, and that kind of stuff, but especially here in the church, in the body as well. We need to communicate, and we need to communicate better. And those of you who have been around for a little while may know that our communication in the past hasn't always been perfect, and we work on it, we're trying at it, and we want to get better, and so that's what we keep efforting. And so we continually to meet, to talk about it, to learn how we can do things different. Quick show of hands, I know it's Church of Christ, it's going to be a little difficult. How many of you still use a fax? Come on, fax users, fax. Oh, I got a couple, all right, good, good. You guys are living in the 80s. What about a landline? Anybody have a landline in here at their house? A few more of you. You guys heard of a cell phone? You should get one. That's not quite in order, but that'll work. Anyways, phones. Hey, our phones have replaced a lot of things. Communication, our technology has changed over the last few years. That's a monkey named Freddy, and we'll talk about him in just a second. It has changed over the years, and so we need to evolve and change with it as well, and we want to. Oh, there you go. I showed this in our Faith and Family Summit class back in January. This is a list of a few of the things that have been replaced by those digital computers that you have in your pocket, and if you think about it, but a lot of things that we used to communicate with phone, like with phone trees and that kind of stuff, we had the list to, I call five people, they call five people, and that kind of stuff. We don't do much of that anymore. And those were wildly effective when that was our best means of communication, but they aren't anymore. And so we want to make sure that we can find you and meet you where you are. Sorry, that was just to show off that you guys are old if you still use some of those things. The first way that we connect and we've tried to connect with through this congregation, through this body here, is a couple years ago we purchased a piece of software called Church Community Builder, and we refer to it as CCB. I'll let you guys go ahead and you can run that for me. CCB is a platform that is built by a group of guys. You can log in here, you create an account. What this does is it stores all of your information and all of our information. It's very secure. You don't have to be worried about getting in trouble with anything. It allows you to email directly through to other bodies of members and groups and that kind of stuff without having to have their email address. If you want to find their phone number because you actually use the telephone, it's in there. You can log in. But the problem is we don't have everybody in there. And we've tried different ways. We've asked you to sign up. We've offered opportunities. We've created, Justin went through and created some videos for us that we can use, and you can kind of follow these online tutorials of how to do it. But we don't have everybody, and we'd like to have everybody. Not because we want to spam you, but we want to communicate with you, and we want to give you the information that we deem as important from from this side of things that you deem as important as well. The nice thing about CCB is that it offers a few other benefits. It offers the ability to give online if you choose to do so for any kind of event or for your contribution as well. It allows us to do signups for things like Wednesday night dinners and those types of things. It also does reporting. So at the end of the year, whether you've given through the plate or given online or given through other methods, you can go in and you can print out your reporting for your tax statements and those kinds of things as well. CCB is really powerful, but we're not using it to its full potential. We'd like to. And so next week, okay, first it's grapevinechurch.ccbchurch.com. And that's a really long thing to remember. So one, it's either on the back of your bulletin, always down here, or two, on the website. If you'll jump to the next one, we subtly put it up there where it says members. All those yellow arrows, that points to it. So if you go to grapevinechurch.com and just click on that yellow button, that takes you right to CCB. Okay, and that is our member directory. That's everything else that is secure, so you don't have to worry about it and that kind of stuff. But that's how you access, that's how you get in, that's where you go to log in. If you don't have an account, we want you to have an account, and we want to help you do that. And next Sunday, out here in the foyer, we're going to have one, two, I don't know, maybe three people with a fancy one of them iPads, and they're going to stand out there, and they're going to help you get logged in. All you really need to know is probably your name and your phone number, maybe an email address. We'll help you get signed up. If you don't know your password, we'll help you with that. We're going to be out there, and we're going to get it. We're going to get you signed up, and then you can't say, I don't know, I can't get this, I can't do that kind of stuff. So CCB is a really important tool for the congregation. That's where we put all of, attendance numbers and all those types of things. And so it's really important for us to have your information on file and have current information on file. And if you want to, you can put your pretty photo in there as well. And so everybody can find out who you are. Our next line of communication that we have there's CCB if you log in. Okay. And there's a little tutorial right in there where it says start here. Down the side over there, this is mine. You see groups that I may be associated with in there. And so I could click on one of those groups on the right and email directly to them. So that's just a quick screenshot once you log in to CCB what it looks like. And so if you hear CCB, that's what we're talking about. If somebody says, go to, or you get an email from, that's what this is. This is often Angela or Scott or Shelley or somebody emailing out through CCB. Those are the types of things you're going to get from. Our next line of communication that's really important, almost everybody in here, we realize not everybody is, but almost everybody in here uses email. And email is a huge communication tool, and email is a huge nightmare as well. If the inventor of email would have actually put a price on email, we'd all be slaves to it, and it would cost us a lot of money, but we all use it every day, and we always get inundated. In the past, our email communication here at the congregation, a lot of times is we would call information overload, and we just really dump everything on you at all times. Anytime we got anything, we were throwing it out, and we wanted to streamline that. So about 3 months ago, we came up with this idea of the connection. The Grapevine Connection has been a weekly email, and it goes out on Monday mornings, and it has a number of things. The top section up there where you see some of the graphics, it has kind of some upcoming things, what's happening going on. You see up there, you see the Journey Through Romans is the one that went out recently, is the one about our Bible classes on Sunday mornings. And so it's just a reminder to say, hey, new classes started this week. It's 9 a.m. Be there, please. Right below that, you see a sign up for Chick-fil-A. And then the Bible classes, you also see the photo submission, the exhibit that we're trying to do here soon, and then the spaghetti lunch. Below that section where it says This Week in Grapevine are the weekly happenings this week that we try and highlight to you just to say, hey, here's what's going on. And again, some of those are reiterated. Right below, I can read it sort of. It says meal and classes. Dinner is Chick-fil-A, and there's a link right there. You click on, you go sign up. You want to be a part of that, and that's there. It continues on the right side over there. I had to break it in half. On the right side, it has birthdays, and then it also has some collection items just to get you informed with what's happening specifically. Kind of, we got kind of global early on. We got local for the next this stuff, and then down below, our kids and our youth even get stuff as well. And so we've got Grape Kids, and we've got Jim over there, Grapevine Youth Ministry stuff, and each of those. And so email communication is really important, and we've tried to do a good job of refining how we're doing it. All of the prayer requests that we send, and I love that this church is so involved in prayer and values prayer so highly. All of those prayer requests, we want those to go to the shepherds. We want those to go to Charlie. We want him to be able to take those so they can pray over those and they can filter those and Charlie can forward those out. If there's something you want to promote, bring that to the office. Bring that to Angela. Bring that to the office and we'll get it included and we're going to help you promote it if you give us enough time. If you email us on Sunday night and we've already done the email by Monday morning, I can't help you promote it. But if you give me a couple of weeks and you give me 2 or 4 weeks, I can do something more. I could get you on the website. I could get you in Facebook. I can get you in a lot of places. I can get you in the bulletin. But I can't help you if you can't help me, okay? If you need something promoted, there's just an event, there's something going on, there's a time change, anything like that, bring that to the office and we're going to help you with that. If you have a prayer request, if there's an emergency, something like that, then let's get that to the shepherds because Charlie's always monitoring that and making sure that stuff goes out. And we want that to be their focus and we want that to be on them because we know that they praying over the congregation is an important thing. Let's move forward and go look at Freddie for a minute. The service we use to send this email is a service called MailChimp. And Freddie is MailChimp's mascot. And you can see Freddie's pretty happy. The reason we use MailChimp is because it allows us to build groups in there. It allows us to send things out without getting on spam lists. And it allows us to kind of track and monitor. Right here, a little while ago, I took a screenshot of the last four or five. Let's go to the next one. The last four or five emails that we've sent, connections that we've sent. So you see 1-7 through 1-11. So the one that'll go out tomorrow is 1-12. So that'll be our 12th Grapevine connection. And what you see right there is our list is anywhere from 221 to 218 subscribers on it. And our average open rate on that email is about 40-41%. So if you look around in this room, 6 out of 10 of us are not even opening the email. So we've historically had bad communication in this church at times. And oftentimes we hear that we're not getting communicated to you well, but in the communication efforts that we're trying to do, you guys won't even open them. So I love you. I want you to get this information, but I can't hold your hand all the way through, okay? I've got to see better open rates than 40%. And I'll be honest, that's really phenomenal when it comes to email. When you're talking about businesses and that kind of stuff, a lot of open rates are down in the teens and 20s%. And so actually we're really doing good, but I'd rather see that at 90%. I'm sending you one email a week, guys. That's it. Right now, one email a week. But if you can't open that one, I'm going to have to send you another one, okay? And so one plus one equals two, okay? We have had some issues. I got up here earlier and I told you that the spaghetti dinner had to be postponed. The spaghetti dinner had about 3 signups on it. And it's hard for me to go cook a big bowl of spaghetti and serve a bunch of people when I can only get 2 or 3 families to come and be a part of that. In the top of the connection, okay, there's a button that said, sign up for the spaghetti dinner. So either we communicated it poorly or everybody hates spaghetti, okay? And I don't think everybody hates spaghetti. I'm not the best chef in the world, but I don't have to ruin a pot of ragu. The last column up there is the number of clicks. So out of the 40% who opened it, we got anywhere from 2.3% to a 5.5%, which was a really good week, I guess, on the 10th. Something caught your eye. So 5% of the people who opened the email actually clicked on something. So I'm not real great at math, but if we expanded that out to 100% of opens, I think we got about a 1% click rate. So about 1% of you in here clicked on anything in that email, okay, when it went out in the last few weeks. And so that doesn't help me, okay? That means that email's not working. So either we need to continue after this conversation, knowing going forward that this is a really important tool for us, or we need to figure something else out. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and let's try something else out. I had a really good conversation this week in the office with one of my favorite members, and she came in, and I just said, can you help me? Let's talk. I said, how do you like to be communicated to? Do you read the bulletin? And she said, yes. She said, I like reading the bulletin. I read it top to bottom. She said, and I take it with me. I said, do you listen when guys like me get up and ramble on with announcements? She said, yes, I do. And we're trying to streamline that. It's really hard for me to get up here 2 minutes before if I get four or five of you dropping things in my lap saying, hey, I need this, I need this, I need this. If you can get to me a little earlier, I understand things change at the last minute, and that's not a big deal. But if you can get to me a little earlier, let me help you, okay? And so come to me earlier. Let's get that stuff figured out. I asked her about the email. I said, do you read the connection? She goes, not really. Okay, why don't you read the connection? She didn't realize that that's where we had moved a lot of communication to. And so that's my fault that I didn't tell you. And she didn't know that there were signups in there. And probably a lot of you didn't either. And so I apologize for that. That's on me. And so that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about this. We want to, this concept of together and community, we want to make it easier to be together and to talk together and communicate together. Another one we have, area of communication. We're going to so this is Freddie, and Freddie's always happy until we see the numbers. I couldn't find a sad Freddie, so I found my own sad Freddie. This is sad Freddie. So that's what I feel like when I open up those numbers. I feel like sad Freddie. So make me happy, Freddie, not sad Freddie. let's keep going. This right here in my hand is a bulletin. For some of you who've been around for a while, we've gone through a couple iterations on a bulletin. We used to have a big 8.5 by 11, folding in a half. It was 11 by 17. Then we got a new trifold bulletin that was full color and had pictures and lots of wordy words in it. And the same thing that happened with it happened with everything else. You picked it up, you read it, and you left it in the pew. Or if we were lucky, you made it to the trash can with it and stuff. And so the cost of that wasn't necessarily necessary, and so we scaled back a little bit, knowing that this was an internal communication document that, for the most part, it was going to go in the trash or the recycle anyway. So this is our bulletin, and almost everything we have that we can fit in here is going to go in here on a Sunday morning. You can get this right there. I know Larry's always standing over there, and I appreciate the fact that he does that, and he'll shake your hand, and he'll hand you a bulletin. There's important stuff in here. It has all the links that you see in that email right there. It has them in here as well, and I realize it takes a little more to type them in. But it is there, and for those of you who don't get email, we don't want you to feel left out, because that's right here. We've got this, okay? The bulletin, while it's some might think it's antiquated, printing paper every week and that kind of stuff, it's important, and it's good to be able to have something, and it's proven to be effective, and so we're going to continue to do the bulletin with that. Another area of communication is social media. Scott alluded to it a little bit. I have Facebook up there. Have you guys ever heard of Facebook? Facebook is a behemoth. Facebook, about 3 weeks ago on one day, touted a stat that they said it was the first time ever they had 1 billion people log in on the same day. It's a behemoth. There are a lot of people on Facebook. The reason I put 30% up there is because when you start to understand a little more about Facebook, is that your feed, you get to see roughly 30 to 40% of the stuff that you're subscribed to. And so when the church posts something on Facebook, you got a 30% chance of seeing it on your timeline, okay? And so it is what it is, okay? That's what Facebook does. That's how they make their money. The way you get to show people more things and you get that 30% up is you pay for it. And so if we want to start boosting posts, we can do that, but then we got to start doing less of other things, okay? And so if Facebook is your method of communication, and great, it is, because we're going to try and utilize it even better than we already have. We're going to post things that come out of the connection of the bulletin to Facebook. But you're going to have to do a little extra effort on that part. You're going to have to go to the church's Facebook page regularly to see what's going on. You can't just rely on your timeline to get there, because you only get to see 30% of it, okay? Maybe 40% if we're lucky, okay? And that's just the way Facebook works. And so that happens with everything. With your sons and daughters, if they post photos, you might not get to see them. So you might want to double check their page from time to time. We have a phone service. We don't use it often. Scott used it last week, and it was interesting to me because I thought Angela was calling me, and it just said Grapevine Church Works. So I picked it up, and it said, hello, this is Scott Allen of the Grapevine Church of Christ, and I kind of got weirded out because I thought he was doing like a fake politician call. And so I was like, all right, that's not funny, I was like, oh wait, that really is a recording. So we have a phone service, and we don't want to inundate people with a bunch of phone calls, but we do think it's important to have a service that provides immediate action, which the phone service also includes texting. And so on days when we have inclement weather, or we have urgent types of matter, or we have things that are really important that we want to get out the message and say, hey, somebody's in the hospital, we need to deal with this, or somebody, you know, and that kind of stuff, we will be using that. It'll ring you, it'll be a recorded message, you might get a text message if you want that, those types of things. If you're not a phone user and you decide that's not for you, there's no opt-out on the phone, but if you'll email Angela, let her know, she can take you out of the system. But we don't want you to miss the importance that, some of these messages go with. So the last one up here is that I'll get to is announcements. I know we are trying to do our best to make worship an enjoyable experience for everybody, and sometimes announcements kind of chops that up, and sometimes I get long-winded, and, we all know Michael Brooks can't get off the stage, and so we want to be able to announce because it's important, but you also be able to feedback to us if they're going too long, if they are if you're missing things, then we need to know that as well. So announcements from the pulpit is another way that we communicate with you. If there are other ways that we can help you to learn more about what's going on, we got so many moving parts here. We got so many awesome things happening, and we want you to know about them, but we also don't want to kill you with them. We don't want to give you 30 emails a week because that creates the fatigue, and you won't open them, you won't look at them. And I want to be happy Freddie and not sad Freddie. And the way we do that is we work together to streamline our communication, to learn more about what's going on, and to be a part of each other through this communication. Because as Scott pointed out, back then when they lived with each other and around each other and near each other, they were able to communicate differently, and we are a little more spread out now, but it doesn't mean we don't have good things going on and that we don't want as good of communication and family as they had back then. So bring you back up. You have anything else to add?
No, I just, you know, the thing is that this is important. This is why I've, you know, we've taken about 10 minutes here, is that we've got a lot going on at this church, and it's really difficult to get a lot of things, you know, give them momentum whenever not all of us know what's going on. And so this is important. We're in one of the biggest cultural shifts in communication over the last 5 to 10 years that has ever occurred. Probably since the invention of the what is that little thing? The Morse code. Oh, anyway, it's huge. And I mean, 5 years ago, Facebook probably wasn't that big a deal, or text. Now it's everything. So we say this, we bring this up because, thank you, man. Appreciate it. We bring this up because this is huge. So how can we better communicate to you? Because see, whenever you look at the original, this first century church, these were not a whole lot of people that were the same. Let's go to this next little slide here. I'm going to go ahead and break this down for you. Whenever Paul's talking to these churches, they were typically house churches. They all were together. So there's a British scholar who kind of did some research on what these house churches looked like, how they were broken down. And I'm going to spend the next couple minutes kind of showing you who was involved in a typical church, okay? So you had a craft worker and his wife. This could have been in Rome. This could have been in the church in Galatia, Ephesus, Crete, wherever those churches were. You had an average maybe about 30 people in a house church. And so you had a craft worker and his wife, their children, a couple of male slaves, a female domestic slave, maybe a dependent relative. That's where they would typically meet. Go to the next slide. Some tenants with families, slaves, dependents living in the same house in rented rooms. Keep going. You had some family members of a householder who himself does not participate. Keep going. A couple of slaves whose owners don't attend. Keep going. Some freed slaves who do not participate in the church. They probably lived in the same house, rented some rooms. You have a couple of homeless people who may journey in whenever they would meet. A few migrant workers renting small rooms in the home. And finally, you may have had a few Jewish folks and possibly an enslaved prostitute. Imagine that type of a church coming in here every Sunday. Imagine being with a group of 30 people and they were this different. I tell you, whenever these people stayed together, it wasn't because they were all similar. It wasn't because they were unified through sameness. When these people were together here, it's because they chose to be together. They had a mission. They had a purpose. They were unique, each with a story to tell. I remember whenever Shelly and I were in a small group about, well, it's when we first got married. We were placed into a small group, and it could not be any different. We had a couple of people who were bikers. Husband and wife, awesome people, could cook really great, but they loved to bike. They had the leather and everything. You had a lady who was a little older and single and had like 25 cats. I don't know how many cats she had. But, you know, she was great. And then you had a guy who looked just like, if you're a Trekkie, Jean-Luc Picard, you know, and he looked just like him, and he was very quiet, did not say hardly anything. You had a young married couple as well. We did not have hardly anything in common with these people. But we had community there. What does it mean to commune? Isn't that why we gather here? And this is a question that I have, and I wanted to kind of leave you with this question. I read this quote, and it's kind of stuck with me. And the idea is, everything that I learned about the Christian life, I learned from my church. So that means that our church is shaping us. Not just talking about me or the elders or the staff. We're talking about this church is shaping us. So I want to leave you this week, and we're going to talk more about this next Sunday. But this idea of what does it mean to really be a community? What does it mean to commune together? Is an hour on a Sunday community? Or is there more to it? Is it encouraging each other? Is it inviting people to your home? Is it eating together? Is it talking with each other? Is it helping each other out when you need money or when you need a ride or people's houses moved? I tell you, I've seen so much of that here. But I tell you, we have got a lot more to do. So ask yourself this question. What has this church shaped in you? And if you are part of this congregation, how have you shaped the rest of these people? The way that we see Jesus Christ, are we living that? Church gives us this opportunity for fellowship. And I'll leave you with this. The word for fellowship in these passages is a koinonia. We've heard that word before, I'm sure. But it doesn't just mean a social gathering. Doesn't just mean community fellowship. Fellowship is loaded. Fellowship means partnering. It means a partnership. It means sharing. It means participating. So as we think about this idea of what does it mean to commune, how are we shaping each other, I want us to remember that we have partnered with each other when it comes to this Christian life. When it comes to this group of people, we haven't just placed membership just so that we can have a place to come to on a Sunday. We are partners in ministry. We are partners in life. And I tell you, when we communicate together, when we are one in mind and heart and body, then God can do some wonderful things through us. Leave with those. How is God shaping you? How is God shaping this church? And what does it mean to commune together? We'll talk more about this next week, about what does it mean to be a community, and what does it mean to be partners? Let's close in a word of prayer today, and we'll sing. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for bringing us together. And I pray that you would help us to pay attention to those people. Lord, we are a fellowship of different people. Lord, we may not be as extreme as they were in the first century, Lord, but I tell you, we have got a lot of different people here, a lot of stories. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us not to just seek out those who are the same as us. Help us to see those people who are less fortunate than we are. Lord, help us to seek out those people who have different political views than we do. Help us to seek out those people in this room who have different theological views than we do. Help us to seek out those people in this room who may annoy us. Lord, those people who we may not naturally get along with, because that's what it means to be a community, God. And help us to realize how much we could shape others in this room to be more like Jesus. Lord, help us to be open. Help us to be aware. And I pray that you would help us to be a place that is forming for our community. And it is a place of safety, a place that we can call home, a place that we can call community. Lord, help us to be together in one heart and in one mind as we go forward from this place today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.